It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Many people dream of being their own boss and having their own business. But how do you get started? Contributor Rebecca Harris, talking with attorney Beth Slagle of the law firm Meyer, Unkovic & Scott, concludes a two-part series on the basics of starting a business.
So as a business owner, you're really faced with so many important decisions, but the structure of what your business should look like is one of the biggest ones. And depending on how you organize your business and whether you intend to work on your own or with others really plays a large role in determining the type of entity that you select. Because the decision of what entity you choose has very long-term ramifications, there's liability and tax consequences, doing some research and seeking out experts is really important. Choosing the wrong business entity or not understanding all the filings and compliance can prove very costly in terms of taxes, and the entity you form may be very difficult to change down the road. So we're really here today with Beth to talk about the different structures, and it's part of starting a business, whether you are a for-profit or a nonprofit. So let's start with the basics, Beth.
Well, there are a finite number of different corporate structures. The most basics are sole proprietorship, partnership, C corporations, S corporations, limited liability companies, and this new kind of innovative company called a B Corp or a benefit corporation, which we'll talk about in a moment. But sole proprietorships, that's the most basic form. It is owned and operated by one individual. It's not actually a separate legal entity, even though it's a business. It's not recognized as a separate legal entity under the law, but rather just an extension of the individual who owns it. Under a sole proprietorship, owners are personally responsible for the debts and obligations of the business. And in terms of the taxes, the business doesn't file its own separate taxes. The income is reported on a Schedule C, which flows to your own individual taxes and is reported as your own income.
I see. So really, it's almost like an extension of yourself. So I guess that would have a lot of advantages and probably some disadvantages. So let's hear the advantages first.
Well, advantages are that it's quick and uncomplicated and very inexpensive to create. I mean, there's typically no government filing documents that are required. And it doesn't typically have any rules or operating regulations that it needs to adhere to. The disadvantages, unlike a corporation, there's no limited liability protection to the owner. So the owner and the business are legally one and the same, and the owner is personally responsible to creditors for debts of the business.
So are there certain businesses that you would recommend should be sole proprietors versus ones who might come to you and say, don't even think about being a sole proprietor? Could you give us a couple of examples?
Well, it really is dependent upon how they want to handle their taxes as well as how much liability. Because even a very, very small business, even a home-based business, very well might not want to be a sole proprietor. Although that's what numerous of those types of businesses are. It really, really depends upon how they want to handle tax and liability consequences. So if they have any questions, their best bet is to do some research or to chat with an expert on the issue.
Okay, great. And we're going to be posting a lot of links on WESA website, so you'll be able to really check this out and look. And there's certainly a lot of organizations. So let's go into the next one, which we've talked about a little bit, which is a partnership.
Absolutely. A business just has shared ownership between two or more owners. And it can take two forms, really. We've heard of general partnerships or limited partnerships. And a general partnership is each of the partners have an ownership interest in the partnership assets and will be personally responsible for the partnership liabilities. How profits and losses are split are typically detailed in the partnership agreement. And just like sole proprietors, general partners are liable for the debts and obligations of the partnership, and any creditors to the general partnership typically have recourse to the personal assets of each of the partners.
So there's not really any protection besides it goes straight to the people, basically.
Absolutely. Okay. That's in a general partnership. Okay. Now, let's talk about a limited partnership. Okay. A limited partnership is comprised of one or more general partners who are personally liable for the partnership debts and liabilities, and one or more limited partners. And typically, the limited partner contributes capital or equity to the business, and they can share in the profits or losses, but they don't play an active role in running the business and are not personally liable for the debts of the partnership.
So is that written into the papers that are formed at the beginning of the business, Beth?
Correct. It would be part of any partnership agreement that is entered into. Absolutely.
Okay. And I know when we talked in our a while ago, we talked about the need to file a fictitious name. So that applies to all these. And that's really part of setting up a business. It doesn't matter what type of business you have, correct?
Correct. Okay. As long as the name is something other than your last name, any business has to file a fictitious name registration.
Perfect.
And pay the filing fee.
And I knew there was money involved.
There was. There's always money.
There's always money involved. Okay. So now, speaking of money, we're going to look at some corporations. So the most typical corporation, I understand, is a C-Corp. So let's talk about that.
C-Corporations take up the majority of corporations out there in the world. And it's a separate legal entity. It's created under the authority granted by state law. It has its own legal rights and liabilities. It can sue and be sued. To create a corporation, you must file the proper formation documents with the state, which includes articles of incorporation, along with the filing fee.
There's that fee again, Beth.
Exactly.
Right.
Shareholders, one of the advantages to a C corporation is that shareholders are protected from the liabilities of the business. Some of the other advantages is that ownership shares can be transferred among shareholders of the business. So in the event that an owner dies or wants to get out of the business, there's less difficulty in transferring owners. You can have an unlimited number of shareholders.
With a C corporation, it sounds to me like the most important part and advantageous part really is the fact that there's protection for the individuals. Is that correct?
There's a number of advantages, definitely a number of advantages, and that would be one of the primary ones, absolutely. A smaller offshoot of a C corporation is an S corporation, and that's typically designed for smaller corporations. And if you start your business and you can actually elect S corporation status by filing an election with a state, but all shareholders must consent to that S election. S corporations are taxed similar to that of a partnership, so there's no double taxation. It's more restrictive than a C corporation in that you can't have more than 75 shareholders, and there can only be one class of stock.
Is it dependent upon the total revenue of the company, or it's more in terms of the shareholders and the type of stock?
Shareholders and type of stock.
Got it. Okay, great. So I know that the next one we were going to talk about is limited liability companies. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. This is a more recent innovation, limited liability companies. They take two forms, limited liability companies or limited liability partnerships. And the beauty of the limited liability companies, whether it's a corporation or a partnership, is that they are taxed as a partnership for federal tax purposes, but they provide liability protection of a corporation.
And do those corporations or companies have to file articles of incorporation and all the other things that standard C corporations have to file, Beth?
Yeah, it's even though it would be a limited liability partnership, it has much more formal filing requirements than just a general partnership.
This is Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Rebecca Harris, business contributor. I'm talking with Beth Slagle, an attorney with the law firm of Meyer, Unkovic, and Scott, and we're talking about choosing the best business entity when you're starting a new company. And I know we're going to talk about this really interesting new entity, a B Corp, which people have been asking me for about the last 3 months. What's a B Corp? And so I'm so pleased you're here today to tell us what a B Corp is. So, Beth.
Well, benefit corporations, it's a really recent innovation. It was enacted into law in Pennsylvania in October 2012. And it's a new type of corporation that's permitted under Pennsylvania law. And a benefit corporation, it's not a nonprofit. It's a corporation that is for profit, but it has a corporate purpose of creating a general public benefit in addition to any other purpose they have as a business corporation. Now, a benefit corporation offers individuals and investors the option to build and invest in a business that operates in a socially and environmentally friendly manner.
It's really a hybrid in some ways. It almost sounds like it has a nonprofit mission with a tax status of a regular corporation.
It does. It does. Now, it's a voluntary election, and an existing business may elect to become a benefit corporation by 2/3 of the vote of its shareholders.
Now, that is really different because I know in C-Corps, I mean, it's about the shareholders. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, they're required. When you become a B-Corp, they're actually required to take into consideration the needs of the customers, the needs of the employees. And, for example, the state is in its legislation is even given an example of directors could choose to buy energy from renewable sources even if the cost was higher than what they could get from power generated by fossil fuels. They give that as an example of, certain decision-making power that they've given to the directors. So it's just not the monetary end. It's really taking into consideration the whole social impact.
And in some ways, it has really a model of sustainability when you think about the basics of it, because those are some of the principles of sustainability as well. So it's so interesting.
It is. It'll be interesting to see how well this B Corp takes off.
So in closing, can you give us a couple of examples of the benefits of B corporations in terms of how they could really impact the economy? And then I guess the last thing is, how do these differ from nonprofit entities?
Well, a nonprofit is supposed to have purely a charitable purpose. Okay. It is not supposed to be a for-profit. They are supposed to be serving the community in some manner, whether it's a membership organization, a funding agency, or a service-related industry. But B Corps are for-profit entities trying to do something good.
Okay.
That's the major difference.
That's really interesting. So examples might be promoting the arts, preserving the environment. Those would be examples of B Corps that would really fit in, but they still have a profit motive.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Beth. I think that was really excellent. We'll have some links to these different entities up on the WESA website, and we really appreciate your being here today. Thank you so much. This is Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Rebecca Harris, business contributor. I've been talking with Beth Slagle, who is with the law firm of Meyer, Unkovic, and Scott. Thanks a lot, Beth.
Thank you.